It's Piper.
Yes, I am your host, Piper Kane. And this is episode 2 of Mythological Monstrosities and Curiosities. The topic of this one is shapeshifters. I am joined again by my father.
So, why are we talking about shapeshifters?
Well, in these two cultures, it seems that shapeshifters was the one topic that was the most abundant and represented in these two cultures. Plus, it's a lot to work with because they're represented differently in different stories, in different forms.
I guess we should start by just talking about what a shapeshifter is in these cultures. So I have kind of an idea, but maybe you can fill in some of the blanks.
Well, usually it is a creature that possesses two or more forms, and usually one of the forms is an animal form and a human form.
Are there other names for shapeshifters as well, or is that kind of a common term?
I don't know of other names. That's the term I'm going to be using. It seems that yokai are... a lot of them are shapeshifters. Seems like that's the majority of yokai.
Like, is there... what's the word for shapeshifter in Japanese?
Well, I don't know.
So... can we kind of back up just a second and talk a little bit more about the podcast in general? So like, maybe I start by, what do you mean when you say curiosities and monstrosities? Because curious is kind of a more positive term. Monstrosity, usually you say that negatively.
Mm-hmm. Well, mostly I just picked that title because it rhymes.
Honesty.
And because it does make me curious. It's a curious thing that interests me. And there are a lot of monstrosities, creatures that are more malicious in intent and have more scary depictions, but then there's also the kind, helpful spirits.
So, going back to shapeshifters. So, are shapeshifters usually forces for good or evil, I guess?
Well, I think they're kind of in between. They're usually fond of playing tricks on humans. They're usually represented as tricksters, mischievous, or just playing around with their powers. But they can be pretty greedy.
How are shapeshifters portrayed differently, like in Celtic mythology as opposed to Japanese? And maybe we could just, you could talk about a couple from each culture, a couple different shapeshifters.
Yeah, I can describe some of the similar categories. Well, there are ones that usually only have, like, a form that is an animal and a form that is a human. In Celtic, there's the Selkie, which is a fairy with the appearance of a seal, but can then turn into a beautiful woman on land. And then the Kitsune, which is a fox yokai possessing multiple tails. It can also transform, usually, into a female woman.
Are there common shapeshifters that we would be familiar with?
I think one of the most common ones are werewolves that are common throughout many stories in the UK. There's also shapeshifters present in the Chronicles of Narnia, in Moana, in Lord of the Rings, and in some superhero movies in DC and Marvel.
So, what is it about shapeshifters that make them so common? I mean, what is it that interests us?
I don't know, but I think we just like the idea that an animal that we see couldn't be exactly what it seems, or the idea that if we were a shapeshifter, what we would do.
Why don't we, Pepper, why don't you just kick it off and just, you go ahead. The next thing is, so let's talk about Celtic and Japanese shapeshifters. So why don't you do that for a while?
Okay, starting with mentioning Japanese shapeshifters. Most yokai, which are Japanese spirits and beings, are shapeshifters. The most common ones are animals such as foxes and badgers that can change into humans as well as other inanimate objects. The kitsune, which is a fox yokai, has multiple tails and forms. When it grows more and more powerful, it accumulates tails. 9 tails is the highest level. The most powerful kitsune have white or golden fur. And the tanuki, which is a raccoon dog spirit, they're mischievous, can transform to humans as well as trees, stones, or household objects. They can also possess people. Their testicles are the source of their magical powers, and they're known for shape-shifting them into useful objects. Then the bakeneko, which is a cat yokai that it walks on hind legs and can grow and shrink or size or shapeshift into humans. They can also summon fireballs and reanimate the dead. Or the roku rokubi, which is just a cursed human woman who, when asleep, her neck stretches to great lengths and then her head pops off, wandering around at night, causing mischief and eating small animals. She can also shapeshift her head further to look like other people's faces. Or the Jorogumo, the golden orb weaver spider yokai. It can shapeshift into a beautiful woman to lure men close to her and eat them. In Celtic mythology, there are a lot more water creatures, which, of course, the most well-known one is the Loch Ness Monster. But there's also the Kelpies, which are water horses with a flowing mane of water and or reeds. It hunts humans, luring them nearby, and then drowning them. It is described as having a sticky substance on its back that can immobilize the human before it drowns them. It can also transform into a man to seduce young women. It's possible that this creature was just created out of a fear of the wild horses as well as the fear of the unknown things within the locks. Okay, now I'm gonna speak about a story of a Japanese shapeshifter that I'm familiar with. So there's this father and son who were poor, and the father really wished for his son to have a wife. And he went around saying that, and he wished it so hard that he said that anybody would do. And one day, a young woman came knocking on his door. She was very short in stature. And she asked, "Since anybody will do, will you take me as your wife?" And so they welcomed her into their home. They noticed that she was sopping wet, though it hadn't been raining recently. They thought that was strange, but they offered her to come near the fire. She said that she couldn't help with moving heavy objects, but she could help with any other housework that she was able to do. Then they bid her farewell, and they gave her a sack of rice, though she fell over of the weight of the rice. So they took out 5 cups of it. Then she went on her way. And the father instructed his son to go and follow her, as he thought it was very strange how frail she was, and he wondered where she was from. So he followed her up the mountain, where he saw her jump into a lake. He could hear the sound of frogs around, and he heard them talking. And she was talking about the rice that they had given her, and how it took her so long because the rice was so heavy. And they were having a funeral at that time. And the boy was so annoyed that his wife had tricked him that he threw a large stone into the pond, and then he left. Shortly after, the wife returned to them, and he asked her how things had gone, and she said that everything had gone well at her home, except for when a giant rock fell through the roof and hit the priest on the head on the memorial service. And then the boy exclaimed that he was the one who had thrown that rock, and that he had seen her as a frog. And she got very surprised and scared, and she turned back into a frog and hopped away, never to be seen again. Okay, that's the end of that story.
What do you take away from that story, Pepper? How does it make you feel?
Well, the story's message was supposed to be... There's a lot of stories in Japanese mythology to be cautious about marrying strange women, because it could be yokai. And he was so desperate to marry anyone that he ended up marrying the frog lady. So the moral of that story was just to never say that you will marry anyone who comes along.
Do you have a favorite shapeshifter, Piper?
I don't know if I have a specific favorite, but of course I like the Bakeneko, the cat who can animate the dead in Japanese mythology.
You do seem to be intrigued by the idea of being able to turn into cats and things. And I say that just because I know that We've played some video games and things where you can turn yourself into a cat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know much or as much about Celtic mythology as I do about Japanese mythology, but these stories of yokai have been around since the Edo period, I think, though not always written down or made drawings of until later. But the ideas have been around for a while. So the time period is a little bit confusing, but Okay, yes, that's a yes. Okay, well, I'm also going to mention another creature that I thought was important. It's called the Kusif or the Kushi. It takes the form of a large black dog, usually the size of a small horse or cow. It is representative of death and similar to the Grim Reaper. And it has glowing red eyes, and its howl is said to cause death to all who hear it. It usually haunts the Scottish Highlands. It sometimes haunts grave sites and I think it's either like a messenger of the dead, or it can warn you about death. It is said to haunt Scottish Highlands. It is usually black, but can sometimes be a ghostly white color. It is usually described as having shaggy black fur and large teeth. It can also shapeshift into other animals having black fur. I also wanted to mention Celtic witches as well as deities that can shapeshift. The big deity I'm going to be talking about is Morrigan, the shapeshifting warrior goddess. She is usually represented with black hair, wearing a black robe, and can change into usually a wolf or a raven, helping to guide people on the battlefield. Another one I want to talk about is changelings, which are fairies that steal human children and replace them with one of their own kind to live out in their stead. I wasn't able to find a good description of what the changelings, when they're not in their human form, look like, but they're human-like and they have either pale or greenish skin. Celtic witches are usually shapeshifters. They're in tune with nature and honor the changing seasons through seasonal festivals. They're skilled in herbal healing techniques and in connecting with the spirits of their ancestors. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and start telling this story about Celtic werewolves. So there was this guy named Connor, and he had misplaced some of his cattle, and he was roaming around the wilderness. He came across a house and went inside. There were several young men at the table. I forget exactly what angers him, but at some point he decides that he wishes to leave. But then one of the young men tells him that he had saved his life earlier that year. As he was in the form of a wolf, and he had gotten a large thorn stuck in him. And Connor had taken the thorn out and helped him get a drink by the river. The young werewolf was very thankful to Connor. And so Connor did not leave, and he stayed with them and feasted and then went to bed in their house. When he woke up, he was in a field with the house nowhere to be found. A wolf came up to him, herding his cattle, who he knew was the young wolf that he had saved. And that's the end of the story. I'm going to talk about the differences and similarities between the shapeshifters that I have mentioned so far. Celtic folklore seems to have a lot more humanoid shapeshifters, or ones with humanoid forms. Well, Japanese has fewer, and more animals that shift between species of animals or mystical creatures. In Celtic mythology, the majority of fae have a normal humanoid form, but the exception being for demi-fae, which are a fae marries a human, these demi-fae take after their fae parent, and less often have a humanoid form. Celtic witches, as shapeshifters, are very skilled in herbal healing techniques and in connecting with the spirits of their ancestors. Japanese sorcerers were characterized by having a kitsune or bakeneko familiar who would grant them with their mystical and spiritual powers. Stories of sorcerers without magical companions is more scarce. In similarities, they both seem to have a deep connection with nature in their mythology, where nature is both respected and feared. And the elders of the cultures are powerful and wise. It is also well known that you should be cautious of mysterious and unknown creatures and people you come across in both cultures, as represented in their myths, as well as respecting your ancestors and the teachings that come with them. So in terms of the time period of these stories in Celtic and Japanese mythology, they seem to go back to really early in both cultures' history. The tales of werewolves started appearing in Celtic myths at around 1200. It seems that depictions of werewolves in Celtic mythology had come into being as early as 1200 AC, while in Japanese mythology, tales of yokai first started appearing in the Edo period. Well, I guess I'm going to add that it seems in both Celtic and Japanese mythology they have stories about shapeshifters being able to lure in and seduce men and women. This is probably just because of the curiosity of such creatures overpowers their ability to know that it is dangerous, because the creatures like use how mystical and beautiful they look to entice humans and then are able to seduce them. Well, thanks for listening. This is Mythological Monstrosities and Curiosities by Piper. I want to thank WDRT in Viroqua for allowing me to use their space, as well as my family for giving me support and helping me edit these episodes. Thanks for listening. I hope you tune in again.